May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This was today's collect. O Lord, who has taught us that all our doings without charity are nothing worth, send thy Holy Ghost and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues. The original Anglican lectionaries had 1 Corinthians 13, that's Paul's classic hymn to love, as the epistle for the Sunday before Lent. And today's collect was written to accompany it. The lectionary we now use makes the Transfiguration the focus of the Sunday before Lent, and next week's collect will be on the theme of the Transfiguration. So, today we said a collect that had been loosed from its original roots. But it is such a beautiful prayer that I am pleased we have not lost it. And what I hope to show you today is that it is the perfect complement to the passage from Luke that was our second lesson. O Lord, who has taught us that all our doings without charity are nothing worth. It is Thomas Cranmer's restatement of Paul's, "If I have not love, I am but a clanging cymbal." This is what Cranmer had in mind when he wrote this prayer. He knew that right before Lent, people would be speculating on what they would give up for Lent. And he knew that people would be saying, "Oh, how much I will please God when I give that up." Cranmer saw a clear temptation to spiritual pride in Lenten sacrifices. So he wrote a prayer that would serve as an antidote to pride. He intended it as a solemn reminder that whatever sacrifices you were considering for Lent, they would count for nothing. They would be totally negated if you did not love. And what's more, the only love that counts for anything is the love that only the Holy Spirit can engender in our hearts. All our doings without charity are nothing worth, is a slap in the face for those who pride themselves on their own goodness, because you cannot do true charity without it being given to you by the Holy Spirit. Cranmer's desire was that people would approach Lent totally humbled, and his collect reflects that desire. But here is what else Cranmer had in his mind. For those who are truly open to being humbled, there is promise. The promise is the excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues. The promise is God's love, not just given, but poured into our hearts. The verb poured implies abundance, a gift of love given without restraint, flowing from the one whose love knows no limits. Cranmer's collect springs from the truth that is repeated over and over and over again in the Old Testament and in the New. It is foundational to the Hebrew and the Christian faiths. When we allow ourselves to recognize how far we feel short of what God asks of us, we open ourselves to his love. On the other hand, when we proudly affirm that we are good enough already, we close ourselves to God's bounty. I want you to hold that thought, because it's time for me to pivot to the second lesson today from St. Luke, his account of the Sermon on the Mount. We heard part of the Sermon on the Mount last week. We read more of it today, and there would still be enough left over for another Sunday if we weren't running out of Sundays before Lent. Last week, it was the Beatitudes, when Jesus shocked everyone by teaching the opposite of what you would expect. How truly blessed are those in need? How truly blessed are those who are starving? How truly blessed are those who are weeping? How truly blessed will you be when everyone hates you? And this week, Jesus continues in that same contrarian spirit. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who are abusing you. Turn the other cheek. When someone steals your cloak, give him your coat too. Be merciful. Don't judge. Forgive those who harm you. If we hadn't read it so many times before that we are inured to it, we'd be saying, you must be kidding. Quite frankly, I find that there are three ways in which people quietly dismiss Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The first way I would call the scholarly option. Applying this option, people dismiss Jesus' words on stylistic grounds. This is just Jesus adopting a way of speaking that was common among the teachers of his time. Jesus is deliberately overspeaking, using first century hyperbole to add impact to what he's saying. You're not supposed to take him literally. The second way I would call the cynical option. According to this option, these are just the naive instructions of a dreamer. Someone whose head is always in the clouds. Someone who clearly does not understand how the world works. Someone who deserves to be in San Francisco in the late 60s. It's just hippie talk. The third option is what I would call the self-congratulatory pietist option. Actually, I do pretty well at observing Jesus' commands. Could also be called the delusionary option. Which is all well and good if people want to delude themselves. The problem comes when they appoint themselves the guardians of whether other people are following it. And they make out that that guardianship of the behavior of others is a solemn duty. But mostly, I suspect, it is a secret delight. Those are all ways of dismissing Jesus' commands. But what if we don't dismiss them? What if we simply take them at face value? And what if we hear each one of them for what they are? Each, in their own way, a call for charity in our doings with others. And what if we acknowledge that we always fall hopelessly short? Isn't that the moment when the words of Cranmer's collect begin to open us to the most excellent gift of charity? And isn't that a whole other story? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus isn't offering a set of simple rules by which to get by or to get ahead in this world. Instead, he is inviting us into God's world, which is a world which is not about measuring and counting and weighing and competing and judging, and paying back, and hating, and all the rest. Rather, God's world is about love. Love for those who have loved you, but also love for those who haven't. Love even for those who have hated you. Love that gets expressed in all kinds of creative ways. By caring. By showing patience. By comforting. By forgiving. By not paying back. By releasing just claims that we may have on others for grievances that they have caused us. If we can just make even the smallest beginning of doing those things, charity will indeed prove to be a most excellent gift. Mahatma Gandhi came to London to study law at University College. It was 1888, and he was 18 years old. He tried to adopt English customs. He even took dancing lessons. He was a Hindu by birth, and he had been raised with the Hindu scriptures. But to make a start of understanding English culture, he felt he should read the Bible. So he started at the beginning. He was singularly unimpressed by the Old Testament. He then started to read the New Testament, and once again, he started at the beginning. And when he came to chapter 5 of St. Matthew's Gospel, which is Matthew's retelling of the Sermon on the Mount, Gandhi knew that he had found something that he would choose to make part of his life. Gandhi's practice was to meditate every day for 2 hours. Mostly, his meditation was silent. But every day, for the next 40 years, Gandhi read the Sermon on the Mount and the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And when he read them, he took them at their face value. Gandhi was a fundamentalist about the Sermon on the Mount. And in his private letters, he was puzzled why Christians weren't. "Isn't it more important," he wrote, "to do what Jesus wants us to do than to call him Lord, Lord?" In a famous lecture to the YMCA in Ceylon in 1927, he said, "Much of what now passes as Christianity is a negation of the Sermon on the Mount." Since the Sermon on the Mount is the heart of Jesus' teaching, that is truly a damning remark, which to my mind deserves to be taken seriously. "Without charity, all our doings are nothing worth. So send thy Holy Ghost and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues." If you don't have time to read the Sermon on the Mount every day, then I suggest you take home today's collect. It's worthy to be part of our daily devotions. Amen.